I'm Jack, your host, and this is the Right in the Feels podcast. Whether you're a guy trying to figure out your feels in this crazy, crazy world, or you're a woman trying to solve the puzzle of why men think the way they do, well, this show is for you. Mic test, 1, 2, 3. Okay, we are live and we are back. Season 2 of Right in the Feels. More right, more feels, more right in my feels, your feels. Look, whose feels? Everybody's feels. This is an all-inclusive podcast for all types of feels, but we do focus on man feels though. If you are new, welcome. I'm so glad you found this show. I always leave the lights on that neon right in the feel sign in case you ever get lost in the dark. Just follow that glow. 24/7, come in. This is your safe haven. Thanks for joining. I am Jack, your host, and of course, for the returning folks, welcome back. You have been sorely missed. So much in store for this jam-packed season 2. I've been in the lab trying to brew up a special season 2 recipe, a concoction of guests and topics. There'll be a couple returning guests for season 1, and of course, on top of the list, the one and only my F-A-B-U-L-O-U-S fiance, Christine Chen. Maybe this year we'll finally start to get to planning our wedding. That'll be an episode in itself. There will be new guests this season. I'll keep those people as a something surprise. So be on the lookout for these weekly episode releases on Tuesday. Who will drop by this show? What a season 2 teaser, am I right? Before I launch into this episode 2 premiere, I want to first say that I am Asian, Taiwanese Chinese American, Asian American. I was born in Taiwan and my parents immigrated to America and brought me over at the ripe age of 1. I mention this not just because it's Asian and American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. Whew, starting season 2 just before the buzzer of Heritage Month hit 0, but more because it's so important to start normalizing not just men speaking about their vulnerabilities, but Asian men. It's something I didn't grow up experiencing, and I know countless friends, people who have messaged me and emailed me, who struggle with this still. It's a struggle that does not just affect the individual Asian male self, and oh boy, have I had the journey of struggle of this, but in relation to anybody who has connection to somebody who suffers through the inability to express emotion. Through firsthand experience and observation, women may suffer the most, because I've witnessed on a very personal account the struggle that my mom and sister have gone through because my dad has this very inability that passed down to me. It's one of, if not the biggest driving forces behind the genesis of this podcast, the creation of this Asian voice you hear right now, The Roots. So I want to empower this journey, talk through this frustration, and hopefully break through mental blocks. Again, all inclusive though. I promise, because if you're a man listening right now, do you struggle with processing your feelings? Do you struggle with communicating them to your family, your friends, your significant other, other men, and to yourself? It can be a dark and lonesome place. If you're a woman listening right now, do you struggle in your relationship with your male friends? How about your partner, husband, boyfriend, friends with benefits even? Like I said, all inclusive. Just overall, do you struggle with men in your life? Dad, brother, cousin? Does he have a narrow way of, or scope of looking at things? A prism in which he doesn't adjust or maneuver well in, especially when it comes to discussing and sharing emotions? Does he shut down or does he lash out? I want to get right into this today. Man Feels 102. Subject: why might men struggle with vulnerability and what we can do about it? What I have tried and have done about it. It's a very nuanced topic. And to be fair, for each man, it can be different. But if we want to focus on some key reasons, on top of that list is masculinity. Think of masculinity as a box. Every man's box is different. Some men have a shoebox full of masculinity. Other men might have a moving box of masculinity. And the most obvious you can see a mile away, the true alpha has a container box. All the ideas and values of masculinity are in this box. A doctrine, a script of how men, a man, should act, be, look. It's not all bad, but there is a lot of bad and negative in there. It's a mindset which turns into a culture of conforming, men pushing other men to conform, which turns into stereotypes and prejudices perpetuated within men. We as men, I as a man, are unconsciously put into this box. It's ingrained through generations of men being passed down and further perpetuated in entertainment and media. This box is what traps a boy's mind, which evolves into a grown man's mind. The lashing out or shutting down is the conditioning of a man when he is either being pushed to think outside of the box or starts to have his own realization or frustration that his mind has a far greater reach than this stupid box that is limiting him. The box of masculinity. As a boy growing up, I heard this a lot. You gotta man up. Don't be gay. Don't be a pussy. Don't be a bitch. Just handle your business. Just be a man. Those are all slips of paper inserted into this box. All these phrases are extremely toxic and filled with misogyny and homophobia and made to separate, create gender bias, only focusing on the man and humanity and humane. Can we throw this box away? Do we dare to open it and look at its content, using vulnerability, honesty, and a perspective beyond what we are comfortable and shepherded into and conditioned to learn? Maybe burn the parts that truly don't benefit men. Burn the parts that don't benefit all of society, your fellow men and women. First off, we need to try to understand this box of thoughts, box of masculinity. For a lot of men, it becomes a no man's land, a sunken place, the default state. And without understanding what your default state is, your growth will be non-existent or painfully slow. Let's define this growth as thinking outside the man box. In simple terms, consciousness and awareness will always be the goal and your guiding light. And that's what thinking outside the man box is. Masculinity, also known as manhood or manliness, is just a set of attributes, behaviors, and roles assigned to men and boys. It is socially constructed. We made this shit up. Well, we as in men, humans. So we can socially deconstruct it if we choose to, which is what I'm choosing to do. There is an argument to make that some behaviors considered masculine are biologically passed down. But as far as Western society, we view the core principles of masculinity as strength, courage, independence, leadership, and assertiveness. The idea of machismo is just a form of masculinity that puts weight on power. What is power? Power relates to ego. Ego is self, myself, oh yes, man self. We can make that a thing when you spot a selfish dude. Power is also to disregard consequences and responsibility, taking charge and usurping others, especially other men, and even more so on women, in particular to strength, energy, and sex drive. To dominate, to be the alpha male. Ah, let the chest pounding ensue. So we have that sorta, kinda defined. But what's this podcast without getting personal? Masculinity starts to infect the mind at birth. If you have parents that adhere to gender norms, gender roles, and let's be honest, if you're Asian, that very much will be the case, as it was with me. Likely for a man, masculinity is in your psyche. Being trained to think a certain way, to believe you need to adhere to a set of behaviors for a boy to get approval creates a strict guideline at a young age, and we are first unconscious of, and becomes the story playing the background of our minds, in which we play the key role in. Think of being a man as typecasting. An actor, let's say Robert Pattinson, most famous for playing Edward Cullen in the Twilight series. Bear with me now. He got famous for the romantic, brooding vampire character he played. It's a gig in a wildly popular movie franchise, mainly amongst teen girls, but it's not who he is. And also as the actor, this role is not all he is capable of, but because he played his role well and the movie depicted the fantasy aspect of his character and storyline perfectly, and the marketing of it was equally on point, the industry, the fans, the world started to buy the character and make that association with Robert Pattinson, the actor and person. It's a weird psychology where we know he's an actor playing a role, but for many people, it becomes difficult to separate reality from fiction. So Robert Pattinson, seeking a career in acting, taking a rare opportunity to have a starring role, and he does his job well, but unknowingly so, there was a trap in it. People's perception of you becomes reality. But reality, much like in reality TV, is not the truth. It's produced to make you believe it's the truth. Smoke and mirrors. It's entertainment, a show. He's stuck for a long time by Hollywood and the consumers, aka society, basically, and only wanting that role he played. Any other movie or project he's involved in, he has to try that much harder to dispel or prove his other capabilities, his talent, can be different from the Edward Cullen character. He's met with skeptics. The industry he is in only wants to cash in on what they know is a sure thing to sell. Hence the typecasting. Let's call this a box. Ah, you see where I'm going with this. How hard was it to get out of the box for Robert Pattinson's career? Only he can answer that. But I just know through some interviews I have watched him, he really began to dislike the role. Was he able to get out of this box of typecasting? Where anytime somebody saw his name on the cast list, it's that guy from Twilight? The last Twilight released in 2012, and over a span of 9 years, it looks like more recently, he's been in some big movies like Tenet, like another movie on Netflix, and get ready, your favorite vampire will be the next Batman. So 2012 to 2021, that's a span of 9 years. Seems like a long time, doesn't it? That's nothing if you're playing the role of a man starting from birth. It's a long analogy to say men are just playing a role written from them by the script of society. Growing up, I was treated as a boy. You like the color blue. It's okay to be louder than girls. It's more okay for me to get messy and cause mischief compared to my sister, where she needs to be more proper, ladylike, docile, and perform duties that wasn't expected of me, like wash dishes, do more of the cleaning. I needed to take the mantle and lead the charge as a future man of the household, so my future success was more vital. My strength and intellect was a priority because I will carry on the family name. Whereas worst comes to worst, my sister can just marry a rich man, possibly. The root and devil of this conditioning is the divide it creates in a child that boys are different from girls. Yes, of course, biologically, there are parts that are different, duh. But to be a girl is to be that, and to be a boy is to be this. One seemingly better than the other. Girls have this role to play, while boys have another role. Gender roles. Gender biases, to put it plainly. This bleeds into expression, emotional expression, because perception dictates girls and women are more emotional. God forbid that boys and men should be like that. Be like a girl. My sister was given much more leeway to cry or even openly speak and complain about her emotional state than I was. It almost felt like at the time there was a weakness in her for her to cry, and seeing my dad never cry gave me the signal that toughness is to hold your emotions in. He also articulated that too. Being a man is that. All these little slips of behavior are being inserted into the box. Boys are this way, girls are this way. Girls gossip while boys don't gossip. Talking about your feelings and others is being emotional. Emotions are tied with more feminine qualities, which equals bad and judgment from your male peers. Which starts to bridge me to some of those phrases I used earlier. Don't be gay. Don't be a pussy. Don't be a bitch. The common theme underlying all these phrases are don't be a girl, essentially. Misogyny and homophobia is very much steeped and gender bias. Boys are going around using these phrases, not understanding what they even mean and processing what it is. And what is it? Toxic masculinity. I can say without a doubt, unconsciously from a young age, I always thought I had the advantage over women or girls because my environment and influence dictated that. I thought I should just be naturally stronger, smarter, just more blessed to be a man. I should be afforded more privilege because I get to pee standing up and get all these other benefits in society. It's a birthright. The idea of strength boosted my ego and further only incentivized me to keep perpetuating this role internally because it seemingly benefited me as long as other boys are on the same wavelength. I didn't want to divert or use critical thinking. I needed to be accepted by this club. retain and renew my Man Card every year. Like AAA membership, pay my membership fee. The membership fee was to continue adhering to the rules of this box, reading the script. Who doesn't want life to revolve around themselves? Like my dad. He wants people to be in service of his box of masculinity. Toxic masculinity is a horrible trap into what being a man should be. It's about looking for differences and exploiting them versus bridging those supposed made-up psychological differences and finding the common ground between sexes. It's not about relating, but separating. To deem a person and moreover a whole gender emotional and exploit it in the way that is condemning is only to further stunt your own growth, in which we all are, full of emotion. And how do we learn to express and process it in a healthy way? To understand the phrases I mentioned earlier, don't be gay, don't be a pussy, don't be a bitch, be a man, man up, is to expose toxic masculinity. That the best and most dominant is to be masculine. For so many men, they are completely unaware. They are walking around. Not all of them are misogynist pigs, strutting around like so. But that's the thing. Every box of masculinity is different, but you only understand its content if you dare to open it up and face the biases that have been created by others through you, and then by you, yourself, man self. I have an episode, Why Asian Men Have a Chip on Their Shoulder, and to deal with masculinity is an ordeal. But for Asian men, dealing with the same masculinity in Western society is even more confusing and debilitating. Being a man means all these things, yet you have a whole culture emasculating Asian men at the same time. So Asian men take it to the extreme to survive, to need to prove their box of masculinity is just as worthy. This game is rigged. To play into masculinity as it is currently defined is to let others typecast you. Just another Asian dude with a chip on his shoulder. It's Robert Pattinson, the vampire, and nothing else. This all comes down to accountability of our own thoughts, which bleeds into our actions, which bleeds into our environment, which has a direct influence on other people's lives. You are creating the world, choosing an old world or a new world. What's true will always be masculinity are rules and constructs we can change. They are not scriptures by birth. Now, the purpose of this episode is not to go on a hating streak on men. I am a man. I don't want to be hated. I only know from my own life how this box of thoughts has affected me in negative ways, from the relationship I have with my own internal self, which affected my mental health, to seeing it affect my family, my friends, and any intimate relationship I have ever been in. Homophobia internalized because to be gay was not to be a man. To be gay was to be feminine, and that's not manly, is wrong. Time to break that chain. I've had so many times in my life where I kept thinking, this is what a man is. Aggressiveness, testosterone filled and driven, dominance, restricting your emotions, being stoic, exerting power over women, taking charge because I know better as a man. This is what a man does. Just keep doing this. Life as it is now. Well, the result was I became depressed, developed insomnia, started hating myself because I feared becoming like my dad, and I saw my relationships falling apart. I wanted to push this doctrine upon everybody in my life and became frustrated when people in my life didn't act accordingly, or in my own mind, I couldn't live up to these standards and rules of the box. I felt misunderstood because my intention and my heart felt pure, but my thoughts, words, and actions proved different. I had a narrow way of thinking that limited my mind in its ability to absorb other thoughts and perspectives. When you narrow your opportunities, the most obvious usually is work opportunities, which comes down to providing for yourself and your family. How frustrating is that? It's the same concept when you narrow your scope of opportunities of your mind to grow beyond what being a man should be, what masculinity as currently defined means. For example, follow this train of thought. What is going to happen if you cry? Judgment from other men? From other women? They'll see me as weak? I can't be weak. Weakness is a trait men should not show. So I suppress. Suppression, what does that lead to? Internal unhappiness, because I feel disconnected, alone. This sequence ends and repeats over and over. I can tell you that happened to me, and I never embraced what also might happen if I did cry. You give yourself the chance to process emotion. Where will that emotion take you? I have no idea, but it'll take you somewhere beyond what you know right now. Maybe to another plane of compassion and empathy, connectivity to yourself and others, beyond masculine versus feminine, tying the ego to that, tying your self-worth to that, tying your self-image to that, tying the role of who you are, what a man is, to that. Compassion and empathy is about being humane. Humanity, the totality of humankind. Everybody, all-inclusive, as I said earlier. To access being humane is to understand your internal self in relation to others who you deem different, but are not. Humanities, the major in college or humanities class, is the branches of learning philosophy, the arts, and the languages that investigate human constructs. Ask yourself, is the construct of masculinity more about pointing out the differences when you check into the role of being a man? When you focus on the differences for strength, does it work against understanding and unifying experiences and drawing from different experiences for better empathy, which is real humanity strength? Masculinity is not about that. Let's finish talking about the man box. There is the role of man that men play. And this role, the scripts of paper all in this box, opening the box is the ability to read the script in which masculine society is conditioning you to participate in. Some men become background actors, less conscious of the biases. Others try to become full-fledged movie stars, basking all the glory of the supposed respect that masculinity affords them. And they spend that currency, attaching the superficial values of it into reality. And they try to drive up the value of that currency because it benefits the masculine self, the ego. I personally played that role in so many points in my life, still do unconsciously in some ways, that become only aware of because I'm open to absorbing a different way of thought or listening to another person's experience, especially from the female perspective. Little by little, I deviated from the script. I started reading the script and rejecting the role and the lines I am supposed to read. I chose first to connect deeper with my sister and truly sat down to ask questions and listen to better understand her experience within my own family living with these gender biases. How did it impact her life, her self-esteem, her life trajectory, her everyday life? How did the effects of my dad's toxic masculinity have an impact on her? And the impact was immense. Then I focused on my own experience, where that experience has taken me, mentally and physically, down the wrong path. I looked out and started to see that I valued courage. Not the courage you see in the movies where a superhero man was destroying 10 supervillains. The courage when I saw men and women speaking up about injustice, inequality, against social constructs that affect minorities, people of color, women, LGBTQ, anybody who has been marginalized. The courage that stuck out to me even more was people who were able to speak openly, authentically, honestly about their mental health, struggles, their tragedies, their most vulnerable moments. I noticed the comments of others trying to take these people down, especially when it was a woman speaking her truth, because I saw my sister in her, my mother, my Christine. What's my role in all this? It's not about what kind of man I am to be, but what kind of human. Masculinity wants me to focus on the man part. Our journeys are far deeper, but as an Asian man, I'm here to talk about it, this struggle. I'm trying to move past my fear to speak up, be judged, and fall back in line. I don't have it all figured out, not even close. It's a conversation to have, to keep going. Keep it going with me. Message me, email me. I'm all ears. This is an awareness and consciousness to be activated, to think outside the man box. We've reached the end of this episode. You made it. Gold badge. So much more to say, but all in due time. Thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting. If you wish to follow me for more feels, there's an Instagram where you can DM me with anything and everything. I welcome it. It's at Right in the Feels Podcast. To shoot me an email, to chat, email me at rightinthefeelspod@gmail.com. Please leave a review and rating for me on iTunes and Apple Pod. We're back and it feels so good. Talk to you next Tuesday. I can't wait. I hope this finds you well. Goodbye.